Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Bhava Genesis chapter 2 verse 12 Naikantikam
Naikantikam
Tadhi Kritepi Yaskrte Mana Bonar Davati Se Asa
Asat
Dhavati chera satpate
Manapunar dhavati cheta satpate
Tatkarma niharam avipsatam hare
Tatkarma niharam avipsatam hare
Gunanubhada kalu satva bhavana
Gunanubhada kalu satva bhavana Vaitantikam taddi kute vidishkute
Satpate
Tatkarma Nirharam Avipsatam Hare
On the path of material activities.
On the path of material activities.
Therefore.
Therefore.
Karma nirhara.
Karma nirhara.
Cessation of fruitive reactions.
Cessation of fruitive reactions.
Abhipsatam.
Abhipsatam.
Those who seriously want.
Those who seriously want.
Hare.
Hare.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Gunanuvada.
Gunanuvada.
Constantly chanting the glories.
Constantly chanting the glories.
Kalu.
Kalu.
Indeed. Sattva Bhavana.
Sattva Bhavana.
Actually purifying one's existence.
Actually purifying one's existence.
Translation: the ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart absolutely, because after atonement, one's mind again runs toward material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the fruit of reactions of material activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, glorification of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because such chanting eradicates the heart dirt from one's heart. Purport: the stakes in this verse have been confirmed previously in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srinivatam, Sukhata, Krishna, Punya, Sravana, Kirtana, Pradanta, Stokhava, Brahmi, Vidunoti, Sukhastam. Sri Krishna, Personality of God, who is Paramatma, everyone's heart, benefactor, truthful devotee, cleanse the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. It is a special mercy of the Supreme Lord that as soon as he knows that one is glorifying his name, fame, and attributes, he personally helps cleanse the dirt from one's heart. Therefore, by such glorification, one not only becomes purified, but also achieves the results of pious activities. Punya Sravana Kirtana refers to the process of devotional service. Even if one does not understand the meaning of the Lord's name, pastimes, or tributes, one is purified simply by hearing or chanting them. Such purification is called Sattva Bhavana. One's main purpose in human life should be to purify his existence and achieve liberation. As long as one has a material body, one is understood to be impure. In such an impure material condition, one cannot enjoy a real blissful life, although everyone seeks it. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Tapo Divya Putra Kayena Sattam Suryat one must perform tapasya or austerity to purify his existence in order to come to the spiritual platform. The tapasya of chanting and glorifying the name and attributes of the Lord is a very easy purifying process, but which one can be happy? Therefore, everyone who desires the ultimate cleansing of his heart must adopt this process. Other processes such as karma, jnana, and yoga cannot cleanse the heart. Absolutely. Translation. The ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart. Absolutely. Because after atonement, one's mind again runs toward material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the fruit of reaction and material activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, glorification of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because such chanting eradicates the dirt from one's heart completely. So here the Vishnudas state the relative natures of different purification processes. So the one is the atonement process carried out within karma yoga. So that process is not complete. So therefore, it's not a kama. It is not completely cause good effect. So it does reduce the karmic effects, but it also does not completely destroy the desires. It may influence slightly the desires, but actually desires are still there. And then again one will commit some sinful activity, and again one will have to suffer results. So this is compared to the elephant bathing in the river and then sprinkling dust on itself afterwards and becoming dirty again. So a person who does this atonement is like that. He does not completely remove the desire for enjoyment, and therefore he again commits sinful activity. The Vishnudas state here, therefore, it is not aikantika, it is not a complete process, it is a temporary stopgap process. In comparison to gunanuvada, which means glorification of the qualities of the Lord. This is a process which completely removes the reactions, etc., of material existence. So karma nihara, it completely removes all karma. So this, of course, is stated in the Nectar Devotion also. You see that klesha vini means that bhakti removes reactions, it removes desires, and it removes ignorance. So ignorance is the subtlest level, desire is the next level, and action and reaction is the last level. So all levels are destroyed by the process of bhakti. So karma will destroy the reactions, but not the ignorance or the desires. Jnana and yoga, ultimately, if they give liberation, they must also destroy reactions, desires, and ignorance, because we cannot have liberation with ignorance. So if the yogi or the jnani gets liberation, they must also destroy all these three aspects of bondage. However, what is the difference between karma and jnana and yoga and bhakti if they all destroy the karma ultimately? So the difference is that jnana and yoga, they seem to destroy everything, but actually they must also take the help of bhakti. So jnana must have a little bhakti in it, and yoga must have a little bhakti in it. Then you get liberation. So they are not a complete process also. And the second point, of course, is that, yes, it is possible to destroy your karmas and your desires and your ahankara, etc. But it is a very difficult process, a long process, and it requires great endeavor. So in this way, it is not recommended. And the other point is that jnana can destroy karma, but it does not completely destroy it as long as one is living. So that means one's corrupted karma still remain until one dies. So jnana does not claim to remove corrupted karmas at all. It will remove other karmas, but not corrupted karmas. So in that sense, it doesn't completely remove karmas. Whereas bhakti removes corrupted karmas as well as uncorrupted karmas. So that's another difference. However, the main difference is that the goal of bhakti is not to remove karma. The goal of bhakti is to create prema. And the removal of karma and liberation, etc., is a secondary result. So it is not the endeavor of bhakti to create liberation. That's not the goal. The goal, rather, is service to the Lord. So these things are accomplished secondarily. So we see here that even if that bhakti is done accidentally as an avas, still it has effect. And so Ajamil chanted the name of the Lord accidentally, and all of his karmas are removed. So technically, you could get liberation. So it was a very simple process. He did not have to go through lifetimes of austerities, meditation, study of Vedanta, etc., practicing jnana and yoga. Simply by chanting the name of the Lord once, accidentally, he destroyed all of his karmas. So, therefore, the process of bhakti actually accomplishes whatever jnana and yoga accomplish in a much quicker and easier way. But that is not the real goal of bhakti itself, even though it can accomplish this. Here the Vishnudutas are comparing the two processes and showing how devotional service in any form, whether it is hearing and chanting about the qualities, the name, or the form of the Lord, or the activities of the Lord, all of this is very, very powerful to destroy all karmas of any sort in the quickest possible manner. Therefore, this is the recommended process over all other processes. Those who are in the material world, they have desires. So they may approach bhakti with these desires. So they practice mixed devotional service. They have a desire for bhakti, and at the same time they want to get rid of their suffering. So this is karma misra bhakti. This is superior to Ajamil. Ajamil accidentally chanted. He wasn't even trying to practice bhakti, yet he got his karmas removed. So if one with faith tries to practice with also the desire for destruction of miseries, etc., and karmas, one will even get a greater effect. So the accidental chanting gives one effect. If we chant with mixed bhakti, we get a greater effect. And if we chant with pure bhakti, we get the greatest effect. So, therefore, though the holy name is glorified in the story of Ajamil, actually, the glory of the name is much greater than that, because he was only accidentally chanting and he was doing namabhas. So one who purely chants will get much more than that, much quicker. Nevertheless, we see by this example that even a person in this state gets such great result. Then we cannot estimate the great result that someone who practices pure bhakti will get.
Someone chants again, you don't understand your words, you skip chanting.
Well, your Ajamil, he chanted, he got the result. So one chants with some faith, but with ignorance, that's also non-bhas. It is actually better, because we're doing it with faith. But because of that ignorance, the result is a little slow in terms of developing bhakti. Paparajas, and then you don't advance. So that's not as good. If we chant with ignorance, fine, but if we chant with deliberate aparad, then that actually is destructive of bhakti. So rather than progress, we stop or we destroy bhakti. So that is bad.
Without bhakti, how one can serve the Lord?
Accidentally, a gap of sukriti. In case of Ajamil, chanting the name of Narayan as the sun. So we can call it bhakti in a very extended way. It's not real bhakti, but we can say it's called a gap of sukriti. In that sense, it's bhakti.
Can you mention that bhakti is not involved?
Our goal is not liberation. Our goal is prema, which is bhakti. Pure bhakti means you have no karma or jnana yoga attached to it. Well, renounce in the sense that we renounce other desires than the desire to serve Krishna. But if we renounce Krishna, then there's no more bhakti. So we can't renounce Krishna or service to Krishna. Well, it starts in sadhana. As soon as you do sadhana bhakti, kleshagni takes place. Of course it takes place even before bhakti with a gap of sukriti. It starts to take place. And in the case of Ajamil, it started with when he chanted accidentally the name of Narayan. Oh well, it's not really described exactly when, but the whole process starts with as soon as one practices bhakti in any form. So the karma is destroyed, desire is destroyed, and finally the ignorance is destroyed. So that the last thing is the ignorance, which is takes the form of ahankara. So that's destroyed. Ultimately, the last traces are destroyed in Baba.
In the case of Ajamila,
when
he was young, he was sleeping on the medicine flight. Also, we call his son Narayan many times. At the end of life, he had his strength to come to sleep like this, but very bold. Then he called Narayan. So that Narayan was powerful than he is Narayan.
No, even the first one.
He was still coming in there, like this.
But had no effect. It was like the teeth of a serpent without poison. So none of his so-called sinful activities had any effect upon him. Because all the reactions of past, present, and future sinful activities were removed by that chanting. I mean purification, state of purity. Who says that? Well, that's not a qualification for liberation. Those are qualities which appear due to process of bhakti.
It's got nothing to do with liberation. Liberation itself has no qualities. It's simply oneness.
You find in my audience, they often give lectures on Namaskar and they can't interest me.
Oh, but they think that he has a material body, so it's apparat. So that's a counter effect. Well, they can get namabas, but if it's apparat, then it's worse. They don't get any effect. No bhakti.
Sometimes shopkeepers in India, they keep Krishna devotions closed.
Namabas.
श्रीमद्भागवतम की
जय।
सोलनस बन महाराज की
जय।
प्रभुपाद की
जय।
Thank you.